Thanks for listening to this week's Wellspring Church Podcast.
Came to me and said, I found a nice girl for you. She lives in the next village, and she is ready for marriage. We were not supposed to meet until the wedding, but I wanted to make sure. So I sneak into her village, hid behind a tree, watch her washing the clothes. I think if I don't like the way she looks, I don't marry her. But she looked really nice to me. So I said, okay, to the man. We get married. We married for 55 years.
We were both born in the same hospital.
1921.
7 days apart.
In the same hospital.
We both grew up one block away from each other. On the Lower East Side.
On Delancey Street.
My family moved to the Bronx when I was 10.
We lived on Fordham Road.
Hers moved when she was 11.
I lived on 183rd Street.
For 6 years, she worked on the 15th floor.
I worked for a very prominent neurologist.
Where I had a practice on the 14th floor, the very same building.
We never met.
Never met.
Can you imagine that?
You know where we met? In an elevator.
I was visiting family.
In the Ambassador Hotel in Chicago, Illinois.
He was on the third floor. I was on the 12th.
I rode up 9 extra floors just to keep talking to her.
9 extra floors.
Well, he was a head counselor at the boys' camp, and I was a head counselor at the girls' camp. And they had a social one night, and he walked across the room. I thought he was coming to talk to my friend Maxine, because people were always crossing rooms to talk to Maxine. But he was coming to talk to me. And he said,
I'm Ben Small of the Coney Island Smalls.
At that moment, I knew. I knew the way you know about a good melon.
We fell in love in high school.
Yeah, we were high school sweethearts.
But then after our junior year, his parents moved away.
But I never forgot her.
You never forgot me.
No, her face was burned on my brain. And it was 34 years later that I was walking down Broadway and I saw her come out of Toffin Eddie's.
We both looked at each other and it was just as though not a single day had gone by.
She was just as beautiful as she was at 16.
He was just the same. He looked exactly the same.
I was sitting with my friend Arthur Kornblum in a restaurant. It was a horn and dialect cafeteria. And this beautiful girl walked in, and I turned to Arthur, and I said, Arthur, you see that girl? I'm going to marry her. And 2 weeks later, we were married. And it's over 50 years later, and we are still married.
All right. Aren't they just cute? Don't you just feel better watching them? Even made TJ smile when he put that together, which of those of you know TJ, you're like, wow, that's a lot. The reason we showed that video is because isn't that the goal? When it comes to love and relationship, isn't that what we're really all hoping for, that we can find the right one and fall in love and stay in love, and so that at the end of our life, we can still look back and tell the stories and still love each other and still like each other and still feel that way about each other. That's kind of what we've been talking about this whole series. We all know it's pretty easy to fall in love. This series has been more about staying in love. Is it possible to stay in love? Is it possible to have that kind of love, the fairy tale love we've been talking about? Is that possible for your entire life? And our answer has been unequivocally, yes. We believe it's possible. I didn't say it was probable. I said it was possible. But what we've been talking about for the last few weeks is how to make it more probable in your life. And the way you make it more probable is to follow the design of the one who created marriage. We've been looking at God's Word, specifically at a book called The Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon is a book right in the middle of what we call the Bible. It's written by this guy named King Solomon, and it tells the story of he and his wife. And if you've been here for the last couple of weeks, you know that we've seen a lot happen in the life of King Solomon and his wife. We've seen them when they were dating, which is great because we learned some principles and parameters for those of you in the room who are single about how to date and how to date well. We learned some tips for husbands and wives about how to continue to pursue each other. Now, it never stops. We've seen this couple in a normal day in the life of their marriage. We saw how nice they were to each other and how well they treated each other. We learned some principles from that. A couple weeks ago, we actually kind of popped in on this couple on their wedding night. And that was awkward. And we'll talk no more about that. But and then last week, we actually saw this couple have a fight. And we were all like, oh, thank God they're not perfect. But they had a fight. And there are some principles about how to handle conflict and how to handle fighting. And what we've done this entire series, we've been learning how to do love and relationships and marriage, how to do it God's way. Because I believe when we do it God's way, we get God's results. And I do believe God's desire for each of us, if we get married, is to live happily ever after. I genuinely believe it. And so that's why we've been diving in to this book. And what we're going to do today is we're kind of going to take one more look at Solomon and his wife. We're going to learn from one more kind of episode in their life. In this episode, we're going to spring forward. Some people think we spring as far forward as 40 years into the future. And what we're going to learn today is basically we're going to learn, okay, all the stuff you've heard so far is important and good and you need to do it. But the key to being that cute when you're 85 years old really boils down to two things. Two verses in God's Word. I know you think, well, that's mighty simplistic. And yeah, that's the good thing about God. He's pretty simple. We're the ones who make him much more complicated than he has to be. So we're going to turn back to Song of Solomon. If you haven't been here for the series, let me explain quickly. Song of Solomon, basically, like I said, it tells a story of Solomon and his wife. There are two main speakers in the book. Solomon speaks. His wife speaks more. It's just in the Bible, though. I don't know why. It's not real life. I know. But she speaks more in the book. And there's a chorus that'll sometimes comment on the action. And that's what's going to happen today. And again, if you haven't been here before, heard about this series, the Song of Solomon is written in Hebrew poetry, which means it's got very flowery language. I'm going to have to explain some things to you. As I've said throughout the entire series, it's because the Song of Solomon is a very frank, graphic book, and it's the equivalent of when you spell in front of your children. It's a way of talking about things without them knowing what you're talking about, right? That's why it's written in some of this language. So what we're going to do is we're going to jump into Song of Solomon chapter 8. If you have your Bibles, turn to Song of Solomon 8 right in the middle of your Bible. If not, it's going to be up on the screen just like always. And what we're going to learn here today is we're going to hear really mainly from Solomon's wife. And what she's going to do is she's going to lay out kind of the bow. She's kind of going to tie this series up. It's okay, take everything you've learned so far. But if you don't do this, hear me, none of it will work. And I don't say that lightly. If you don't apply to what we learned today, none of it will work. But if you do apply it today, I believe you can actually guarantee yourself the type of love you've always wanted. I really do believe it. I believe it with all my heart. So what we're going to do is we're going to jump right in. We see the chorus speaks first, right? Kind of sets the scene. In a Song of Solomon 8, verse 5, it says, "Who is this sweeping in from the desert, leaning on her lover?" Who is this sweeping in from the desert, leaning on her lover? It's, like I said, flowery language. But the picture is basically, who is this walking in from the outside, holding her husband's hand? And see where it says, sweeping in from the desert. Many scholars believe that that's actually a reference to the time the nation of Israel spent in the desert before they entered the promised land. See, you've probably seen the movie with Charlton Heston. You know the story. Like the Israelites were captives in the nation of Egypt. God rescued them from Egypt to send them to the promised land. They got there and said, "Oh, this isn't that great." And God's like, "Really? I'll show you." And so he made them wander in the desert for 40 years before they were able to enter the promised land. And many people think that's an illusion. And that's where we get this idea that this is 40 years into the future. And what it's basically saying is, who is this after 40 years still cuddling with her man? That's what she's doing. She's holding his hand. She's hugging on him. It's like those really cute couples you see in the mall, you know, that still hold hands with each other. And you're like, oh, that's so cute. None of you go to the mall? Or they just, yeah, whatever. I'm not going to talk. But there's a second thing I think it's saying. Not only are they holding hands, what he's saying is, or what they're asking is, who is this woman who still, after 40 years, seeks the love and the protection of her husband? Who is this husband after 40 years that is still working, that is still loving, that is still seeking to protect his wife? Basically, after 40 years, how is this couple still doing all the stuff we've been talking about through this series? How is this couple still putting each other first? How is this couple still trying to be visually generous? If you were here a few weeks ago, that seems to be the hot button thing we've heard about more than anything else. Who is this couple seeking to still love each other? And it's almost like as the chorus asks the question, Mrs. Solomon hears them ask the question, and it's like she responds directly to them. And she says, oh, you want to know the secret to how we're this old and we still love each other and we're still cute and we still cuddle? You want to know how we do this? And they say, yes. And we all say, yes, please tell us how you do this. And she says, it's easy. I'll be happy to tell you. Starting in verse 6, she says, place me like a seal over your heart. You know, I can't do this. Band, come on up. I've been dying to do this the whole series with the Song of Solomon because it just demands to be read a certain way. So what I'm going to do is we're going to read to you the answer. We're going to read to you what it is exactly that Mr. Solomon says, kind of the key to the whole thing. But we're not going to do it in a way you've ever heard it done before. We're going to do it a little differently. Is everybody ready? Now, Nick's taking his time. But trust me, it's going to be worth it. It's going to be completely worth it. Because what we're going to do today, probably never seen done before, never see it done since. What we're going to do today, it's time to slow jam the Bible.
Hit me three times.
Place me like a seal over your heart.
Oh, yeah.
Like a seal on your arm.
Pull a hot wax on my left elbow. Stamp it like you mean it with your armor coat. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For love is as strong as death. Its passion as enduring as the grave.
Love like death except more happy. Just like Demi Moore and Patrick Swayze. They were in Ghost.
Love flashes like fire. The very flame of the Lord. Many waters cannot quench love, nor can rivers drown it.
Feel I'm going all night long, and it's not stopping till the break of dawn. Oh!
Because if a man tried to buy love with all his wealth, his offer would be utterly scorned.
So, but no one put it better than Paul, John, and Ringo. You can't buy me love, so put that in your lingo. So guys, love your woman, and kiss her and hug her. Take her to a theater, and show her that you love her. If this song gets out, the whole Wellspring Bible.
But that is how we slow jam the Bible. Yeah. Yeah. You're dismissed. I'm just kidding. No. Oh, I've been dying to do that for 5 weeks, and I finally did it. But I promise we did it because scholars agree. Scholars believe, and I believe as well. These two verses are the most important two verses in the whole book. Because these two verses basically say, as I said before, if you want this, if you want all this to work, if you want the promise of that great love, you got to do these things. So let me start over. Let's explain it. Verse 6, she says, place me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm. Now, the seal was commonly used in the ancient time. It was a way to denote ownership. Right? They would take wax. They would press their seal into it. Everyone had a separate seal that had your unique family markings on it, so you would know what belongs to you, what was something else, and so that's what you would do. And then you also would use a seal in contracts. Whenever you would close a contract, when you would sign a contract, you would then seal it to indicate you were good for it, that you were putting your name and you were saying, yes, I will fulfill the duties of this contract. I will do what I'm saying I'm going to do. So it was ownership, you know, like putting your kid's name on his lunchbox. And it was also accountability and responsibility. And so what Mrs. Solomon is trying to tell us, what I believe God is trying to tell us, is look, if you want to be in love until your 80s and 90s, if you want to live happily ever after, if you want the fairy tale, if you want all that, place a seal over your heart. What that means? Your heart belongs to your spouse. Period. And their heart belongs to you. Period. Done deal. It's decided. Because I want you to notice, she asks him to do this. She asks him, she says, hey, place me like a seal over your heart. You know what she's indicating there? She's showing us that this is a choice we make. See, movies try to tell us that love, oh, love is just this uncontrollable force. And, oh, I can't help it. Oh, I just fell in love. Oh, I'm overpowered by love. It's so fantastic to be in love. That's not true. It's not. Love is not an uncontrollable force. Because if it is, if love is an uncontrollable force, that means my marriage is not safe. It means your marriage is not safe. It means no marriage is safe. Because what if the right person walks in and, oh, my heart just starts going a flitter and I fall in love? And I'm just like, I'm sorry, darling, I was in love with you, but now I've fallen in love with someone else. Shut up. That is so stupid. It sells movies, but it's just not true. Love is a choice. We decide. And what Mrs. Solomon is saying is decide. If you're married, if you're going to get married, decide. Place their name like a seal on your heart. My heart belongs to Danielle. And it will always belong to her. I don't even entertain thoughts. I don't entertain options. It's not on the table. It's hers. And I make it public. That's what she's asking. She's saying, let the world know. And you may be saying, I mean, are you saying I need to like, get a tattoo on my chest right here, like, you know, like I might be kind of weird, you know. I know we got some folks who got like some gross tattoos from college, and so like what goes right here, I don't know what to do. Let me help you. If you're married, if you're dating, if you're moving towards marriage, here's how you place a seal over your heart. Delete divorce from your vocabulary. Just take it out. See, if you walk into marriage and you only put one toe in, and you're kind of like, well, we'll see how this goes. We'll see how this works out. But we both got parachutes, and we both know we can bail if we got to. It's not going to work. You got to be totally committed. Now, please hear me. Please hear what I'm saying. Right? Am I saying if you're divorced, man, you blew it? No, that's not what I'm saying at all. That's not what Jesus is about. Am I saying, are you saying I shouldn't leave him if he's abusive? No, we've discussed that many times. Leave him and call the cops. He needs to go to jail. Are you saying we shouldn't get, you know, what about adultery? I'm not saying any of that. Those are different things. I'm talking about, well, we've been fighting for a week. Guess we better get a divorce. I'm talking about the threat. I'm talking about if you don't shape up, I'm going to leave you. That's why you have to delete divorce from your vocabulary. Just take it off the table. It's not an option. Because if it is an option, you have not placed a seal over your heart. You've placed one of those washable tattoos. And do you know who uses washable tattoos? Children. So if you are not ready to place a seal over your heart, you are not ready for marriage. You are not mature enough for it. I'll get back to that in a minute. But that's what Mrs. Solomon says. She says, place me like a seal over your heart. Delete divorce from your vocabulary. Husbands, you are called to love your wives as Jesus himself loves you. And guess what? That's a love that was given without getting anything back. Jesus has loved you a lot longer than you've loved him. And he's forgiven you way more than you'll ever forgive him because he never did anything wrong. That's what we're charged to do. We're charged to love without getting anything back. So delete divorce from your vocabulary. Just let it go. Make the choice that as long as you both shall live, you will be together. Throw the parachute out of the plane, baby. If this thing goes down, we're going down together. I know it sounds hard. But throughout this series, I've never said that this was going to be easy. All I've said is it's going to be worth it. Delete divorce from your vocabulary. It'll be worth it. Here's why. For love is as strong as death. It's passion as enduring as the grave. And you hear that, and you're like, oh, yeah, love and passion. That might have been true at some point, but it's certainly not true anymore. And see, that's because you think it's up to you to supply the love. That's because you think it's up to you to supply the passion. But that's not the point. The point is this. When you love the way God commands you to love, when you follow God's plan for your marriage, guess who supplies the fuel for your marriage? Not you, God. That's how she can say that it's as enduring as the grave. Because just like death is an irresistible and inevitable force, so is the love of God. The love of God never fails. The love of God never goes away. The love of God never ceases to exist. And so that's why they say love is as strong as death. It's passion as enduring as the grave. It's not talking about your love. It's talking about God's love. It's talking about God's love for you. And see, that's why he gets to the next part. She says, love flashes like fire, the very flame of the Lord. And again, we hear fire and we think hot, passionate. But I don't believe that's why we use the metaphor here, fire. I believe we use the metaphor here of fire because a fire can be rebuilt. A fire can get down to just one ember. Just one ember. Like Tom Hanks in Castaway. Just trying to protect it. Just one ember. And that fire can be reignited. And the passion can come back. And if you're here today, and you're married and you feel like there's no hope and you feel like the fire's gone and the passion's gone, I want you to hear what the God of the universe is saying. He's saying, the reason I say love is like fire is because if it was there before, I can rebuild it. How do we rebuild it? Well, she tells us, love is like fire, the very flame of the Lord. For some of us, the reason the fire went out is because we used the wrong fuel. We were trying to build the fire ourselves. We were trying to make it work in our own strength. We were building our marriages on different things. We were chasing different things. But see, I think the key, in fact, the key to this entire series and the key to your life is what I believe she's trying to tell us here in this passage. If you want a marriage that's going to succeed, if you want a marriage that's going to go the distance, if you want what we saw on the screen and be cute and in love when you're 85 years old, if you want that, make a decision today. Make Jesus the center of your life. And your marriage. Let me say it again. Make Jesus the center of your life and your marriage. He must build the flame within you. He must keep it going. So you have to be adding fuel to the fire. And you can't do that. It's like we talked about last week. We're not wired to give. We're wired to take. We're wired to be selfish. And see, I told you something last week that's very difficult to do. I told you to stop being selfish. See, you think I said stop acting selfish. Well, we all know how to do that. That's how we have friends. because we don't act selfishly. But that's not what we've been taught. We haven't been said. It didn't say stop acting selfish. Jesus says stop being selfish. And the only way you can stop being selfish is to start being like Jesus. That's it. You must invite the Lord of the universe into your life. You must make him the center of your life. You must make him the Lord of your life. And only then can he, through the Holy Spirit, begin to clean you out and transform you from the inside out, to change you into a new person, to take out the selfishness and to replace it with the selflessness, to take out those evil desires and those bad things and replace them with the good things. And that's when you will begin to be able to, you know what? I can forgive them a little easier than I could before. They drive me crazy, but I can forgive them now. I got nothing to do with you. It's because you made Jesus the center of your life. And see, when that happens, men, it becomes easier to protect your wife. It becomes easier to put her first. It becomes easier to guard what it is you see. It becomes easier to not play on her insecurities, but to cover her insecurities, because you're not loving her in your own strength. You're loving her in God's strength. God is pouring through you to love her. Ladies, when you have made Jesus the center of your life and the Holy Spirit is changing you from the inside out, it becomes easier to respect and admire your husband, even when he's an idiot. It becomes easier to do that because you're not doing it in your own strength. You're doing it in God's strength. It becomes easier to become visually generous. I heard that's a big thing. I heard y'all been talking about that. It becomes easier to do those things. And I want to stop. I want to say a quick thing to the singles, especially if you're a teenager in the room, if you're young, I want to talk to you real quick. Because here's the danger you are going to run into. Because you're going to fall in love and you're going to think, I don't need God for this. I do love her. And I even want to send her flowers. And I want to call her. Well, maybe Pastor was wrong. Not, I don't need God for this. I feel this way. Well, congratulations. That'll last about, if my background was any indication, 3 months. 3 months. And you're like, yeah, I got to move on. Yeah, this is too much. You talk a lot. Wow. Man, I'll tell you, especially teenagers, the thing you think right now is really cute about her, one day it ain't going to be. Except you, baby. I love you. You're my heart. A seal right here. Seal. But just, I need you to know this, right? Anybody can fall in love. We're not talking about falling in love. We're talking about staying in love. We're talking about a love that lasts a lifetime. And I'm telling you, that's not possible without making Jesus the center of your life and making Jesus the center of your marriage. It's not possible. I'm just telling you. But I'm also saying, when you do get serious about putting Jesus first in your life, singles, I'm telling you, the best thing you could do to prepare for dating, the best thing you could do if you are dating, the best thing you could do if you think you're about to get engaged, the best thing you could do if you are engaged is to make Jesus the center of your life. Because when you make Jesus the center of their life, he begins to rearrange and show you what else should be in your life and what should not be in your life. And ladies, especially, as I've told you throughout the series, some of you need to break up with the bozos you are dating because you're here and they're not. Let me say that again, because you're here and they're not. Oh, but you know, they just, I don't know. They got burned in church and they just don't understand. They think you're going to ask about money and they just thought, I don't care. I don't care. Make Jesus the center of your life and the center of your relationships. If the person you're in a relationship with does not have Jesus in their life, they should not have you in their life either. Get out the phone. Send them a text. My pastor says we have to break up. And as I've said throughout the series, unless they're gigantic. And then you say, TJ says we have to break up. It's not worth it. I'm just saving you some pain. I'm saving you some time. I'm saving you some trouble. You can believe it now, or you can learn it 10 years from now when they leave you. I'm just trying to help you out. Make Jesus the center of your life and make him the center of any relationship you're going to pursue. And if he cannot be the center of that relationship is not for you. But when he is the center, when he is a center of your life, and when he is a center of the relationship, I want you to see what happens. It says in verse 7 that many waters cannot quench that kind of love, nor can rivers drown it. Now, I think it's interesting that she says this, because what she's really saying is, water's going to come. There are going to be storms. There are going to be struggles. There are going to be times when the flame was here and the flame's going to be down here. It's not going to be easy all the time. It's not just going to be doo-doo-doo, this is so fun, I love you, you love me, we're up in love, 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 love. It's not going to be that way. It's going to be hard. You're going to smell their breath in the morning. You'll be like, what? They're going to say things that are stupid. They're going to do terrible things. You're going to fight. And you're going to say things you're going to regret. There's going to be times you don't have enough money and you're not going to know what to do. Somebody might get sick. You both might get sick. This is not a guarantee that nothing will ever happen in your life that'll be a struggle or tough. But what God is trying to tell us here is that even though that's coming, it can't quench the kind of love he's talking about. What does that mean? It means if you delete divorce from your vocabulary, it means if you make Jesus the center of your life and the center of your marriage, the God of the universe is guaranteeing, as long as you both shall live, you'll be together. Is it a guarantee? If, please hear me, please hear me. If you do things his way. It is not a guarantee if you don't do things his way. We're talking about a Jesus-centered life and a Jesus-centered marriage. If you want to make a me-centered marriage, guess what? One day it's going to be just you in the marriage. Talk about a guarantee. I'll guarantee that. If you want to have a kid-centered marriage, guess what? The kid's going to leave, praise God. And when they're gone, so is the marriage. You want to have a career-filled marriage? None of that's going to work. So please hear me. All you folks in here who have been divorced and struggled, you can all at this point say amen. Because each of you could say, at some point, you're right. Yep. Wasn't Jesus-centered life and Jesus-centered marriage. Could have been. But here's the beauty of God. Just like he said, that's not the end. Make your next marriage the best marriage. It's not like God saying, one strike, you're out. That's what he's saying. That's why this series is so applicable to every single person in the room. You cannot change the past, but you can change your future. Absolutely, you can do it. If you choose to embrace God's plan and God's design. And when you do, it's worth it. Here's how we close out the passage. It says, if a man tried to buy love with all his wealth, his offer would be utterly scorned. Do you know why? It's because the love we're talking about today, we've been talking about this entire series, is an eternal love. It has value that far exceeds any car you could buy or any house you could build. Because it's a love that comes from the God of the universe. And it's a love that he wants to pour into you so that he can move through you to transform the world around you. And that starts in your home. That starts with your spouse. If you're dating today, it starts with whoever it is that person's paired for you. If you're engaged today, it starts with deciding and choosing to embrace the two principles we've heard today. Number one, delete divorce from your vocabulary. If you can't, don't get married. Not the one. And I should also add, you can't really delete divorce from vocabulary until you make Jesus the center of your life and the center of your marriage. They kind of go together. But I'm telling you, those two things, man. Everything else we've talked about this series is amazing and practical, and I hope you apply it. This is what matters. Make Jesus the center of your life the center of your marriage. And I promise you, everything else will work itself out. So what I want to do today is I want to end a little differently. I want to end with giving you guys a chance to pray and to prepare your hearts and to respond to what God is saying. And I want to challenge you in a couple things. If you're here today and you're married, let's kind of just reach over and grab their hand right now, because I want you to pray together. Even if you hadn't touched in a week, it's all right, because we're putting the past behind us. And you know what? If you're engaged today, I want you to do the same thing. Because if you're engaged, you're making that decision. If you're dating today, if you're a single person today, I want you to just pray, and I want you to just ask God to begin to prepare your heart for the person God has prepared for you right now. And all of our first steps is to make Jesus the center of our life. And then invite him to become the center of our relationship. So I invite you to go ahead and bow your heads and close your eyes. And I just want to pray for you right now. I want to pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray for this room. I pray for all the husbands in the room. Lord, I pray that you will, in this moment, show them how to love like you love them. Give them a love for their wife, Father. Give them protection. Help them to see their wives for who they are and for who you want them to be. Lord, I just pray you supernaturally change hearts right now and rekindle passions that haven't been there for a long time. Father, I pray for all the wives in the room. I pray that you will give them an admiration and a respect for their husband they can't explain, something that can only come from you. Lord, I pray for all our single folks in the room today, the God, that you, in your infinite wisdom, will begin to prepare them for the person you've prepared for them. Lord, I pray that each of us will choose to put you at the absolute center of our life. Give you the key. Some of us today, Father, for the very first time. Father, we put you at the center of our life, and we invite you to guide us. We want you at the center of our marriage. We want to love like you. We want to serve like you. We want to forgive like you. Because we want the results you promise. We want a love that is unquenchable. We want a love that even when the storms come, it'll survive. It'll last. And Father, we know that that love only comes from you. So we make you the center of our lives and the center of our marriages. We thank you that you love us so much that you give us this amazing gift. Father, we pray all these things in your Son's name.
Thanks again for listening to this week's Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit us at wellspringchurch.tv.